I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the All Stats Aren't We preview of the Villa home game. I'm Darren Driver, a wise man who has watched no football at all since the Brentford game. And I'm here with Tom Alderson, a wise man who follows a lower league team and has watched some football since the Brentford game. And finally, I'm here with John McKenzie, a wise man who watches football for a living, so has watched all the football all the time since the Brentford game. John, how are you doing, brother?
I am doing okay. I haven't watched much football over the international break, I must admit. But yeah, that's all grand. It's nice to have a bit of a break.
It is indeed. I really enjoyed not having to think about Leeds United, Jesse Marsh, or the football at all since the Brentford game. Toldo, how are you doing? How are Stockport doing? The Stockport.
Yeah, they're not doing very well. They probably play football that's, at the moment, as bad to watch as Leeds United.
Oh, no.
And then I've been watching a lot of American football, and the team I support, Seattle, play football that's almost as bad as Leeds United and Stockport County, so that's not good either. But I've been watching a lot of the tennis recently, where Federer retired, and which made me feel very sad and emotional.
Did you get tearful? So,
I got quite upset, actually.
If I cared about tennis at all, I dare say I would have got emotional at that moment, too.
Yeah. Just think, like, when Ronnie O'Sullivan retires.
Yeah.
Like, that's the equivalent.
It is the equivalent, you're right, and I'm not ready for that day. John, are you upset about Roger Federer or upset about the prospect of Ronnie O'Sullivan retiring?
Yeah, I mean, Roger Federer is an institution, isn't he? He played tennis in a very nice way and he seemed to be a nice chap most of the time doing it. So I can appreciate why people got sad when he retired. Ronnie O'Sullivan's retired.
Yeah, he has. He first retired when he was 17.
Yeah. Very similar individuals, though, I'd say. Both. Maybe not personality wise, yeah, but in terms of the aesthetic qualities that they brought to their respective sports,
true.
I'd say. Very similar.
Yeah, Ronnie's just as balanced and measured in his responses to everything as Roger Federer is. So, anyway, we're not here to talk about snooker or tennis or Stockport County. We are, in fact, here to talk about Leeds United versus Aston Villa. Now, The more eagle-eyed of you may have noticed that we didn't, in fact, review the Brentford game, and that was genuinely to do with scheduling issues. We just couldn't get a team together to talk about that game, much like Jesse March couldn't get a team together to defend Brentford's attacks. It was similar in the way that things seemed to fall apart under pressure. But we are back and we are happy to be back, but it has been a while since we caught up, so I just wanted to take a moment to reflect on the six games at the start of the season as a whole, really, rather than focusing in too much on the Brentford game. So Taldo, what have you made of the first six games of Leeds United season?
Yeah, it's hard to make to know what to make of it, to be honest, because we started probably better than most of us imagined we would. Mm-hmm. I also think we were definitely a hint of luck to get the results we did, and then it kind of tailed off. and almost like this enforced break has come at quite a nice time for us, you'd hope, to sort of get it all back together. So it's like, I'm still not sure what I make of it as an overall, because it's been so hit and miss. But I guess that with the nature of the way we play, that might just be the story of the season, is that we might just have up quite a few dips in form and like periods where the team suit us. So yeah, it's a difficult one, really.
John?
Yeah, it's been chaotic, I suppose, would be the word that I would use. Tom's mentioned that it started out with us perhaps overperforming a little bit. And then the last three games, I guess a lot of people would argue we underperformed a little bit. And I suppose the big question that I have is, to what extent are we expecting these sorts of fluctuations in performance versus results to continue? We've talked a lot about how a big part of the gamble, I suppose, of playing the way that we play is that you do create chaotic game states and you do prepare yourself to be the better team in those chaotic game states. And that's probably a fairly sensible way of playing if you're a mid to lower table side in the Premier League. In terms of the aesthetic qualities, I find it hard to sort of motivate myself with them, because you just sort of don't really know what you're going to expect. Like, you play one way, you play one way and lose, and play a similar way and win. And so it almost feels a little bit sort of too devil may care, perhaps. But at the same time, like, as people will point out, well, it's what was probably needed at this point in the club's history, in terms of very nearly going down last season. But yeah, I think that a lot of people talk about this current Leeds side as if they are going to go on some kind of upward trajectory. And I'm not convinced by that. I think this is the trajectory. I think the trajectory is going to stay fairly level in many respects in terms of performances, but results may fluctuate on top of that. So I think that will be good enough to keep us in the Premier League this season. And I guess that's the primary goal of this season. But yeah, I don't necessarily find it the most satisfying form of football I've ever seen.
Taldo, how close was the performance to the result in the Brentford game specifically?
I don't think it was a 5-2. Well, it was literally a 5-2 loss, but I don't think it was a 5-2 in sort of that we deserved to concede five. I think Brentford were better than us, and I think they deserved to win. But I think the sort of the goals towards the end of the game sort of make it seem a bigger gap than it was. Like, the performance wasn't great, but it's, I don't know. I'm really struggling with that question, to be honest, because I think we didn't play well, but I don't think Brentford had to play that well either to get it out of us because of how we played more than them playing well.
It seemed to me, John, that our inability to stop their transitions or to manage their transitions, particularly late on in the game when we committed more players forward, was really the defining feature in the game, right? They were able to soak us up and spring pretty regularly throughout the game, but particularly in that later portion of the game, they really exposed us quite brutally, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it's part and parcel of what happened in the first half. A lot of people will argue about whether or not it was a penalty and whether or not there should have been a penalty at the other end, and that's the way football goes, right? It's a bit of a wild game. Obviously, Ivan Toney took his chances when he had those chances and finished them well, and there's nothing you can really do to compensate for that kind of thing happening as well. But I think that's kind of my point, is that we're going into these games and we're sort of hoping that the chaos falls in our favour, and in that game it didn't. I suppose it sort of raises questions, doesn't it? Because we've just come off the back of a loss to Brighton, a draw with Everton, and a loss to Brentford. And I think if this had occurred last season, there would be a lot more dissatisfaction than it feels like there is right now. Maybe that's because we started out well points-wise at the beginning of the season. But I do think that Jesse Marsh's reign will be determined by just the randomness of the results. So if we go on a bad run for a bit, then his position will seem a little less tenable. And that could feasibly happen. I mean, we're going to talk about Villa later on, but Villa are a team that I think most Leeds fans would expect us to beat. But Jesse Marsh's Villa have already lost to Jesse Marsh's Leeds have already lost to Steven Gerrard's Villa in pre-season. Now, people won't want to read too much into that, perhaps, but there's a good chance that, you know, we don't beat Villa, in which case you're coming into off the back of four results where we've picked up one point, and suddenly that good start that we've had is looking a little bit more precarious. And I guess the big question for me is always like, well, you know, how do you litigate for that kind of thing? Because I don't feel as though performances have been better or worse. Mm. I just sort of feel as though there's that level of randomness there. And I think the problem with maybe the Marsh approach is that in the Premier League, when you're generating chaotic game states, oppositions have the players who can take those chances that can cause you problems. When you're playing in the Austrian Bundesliga, it's much less likely to happen. Mm. And so I feel as though his tenure is maybe a little bit more in the hands of the gods than perhaps it's been in other leagues. Obviously, we've seen what that happened in the Bundesliga itself when he was there. Again, his numbers were fairly solid all the way through his time. We say all the way through his time, he was there for, 13 games in the league or something. But it very much felt as though the numbers were okay, but the performances didn't result in good didn't produce good results, and so that was what did for him. And I wonder whether or not the same will be true of his time at Leeds. I don't know.
In the hands of the gods. Now Steven Gerrard is only a god in Liverpool and nowhere else. But is Steven Gerrard's Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa that we're coming up against on Sunday. So let's start to think about that game in a bit more detail. So, John, what's your take on Villa so far this season? They lost Michael Beale. Was it in the summer that Michael Beale moved on?
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of widely thought that Beale had quite a big influence on Villa's tactical approach and on the quality of their play. Mm. So what's been your take on Villa so far this season?
Well, the numbers consider Villa to be in relegation form right now. I think in terms of expected goal difference, they're the third worst team in the league above, I'm not entirely sure who's bottom. I think Forest are bottom and then it's Everton. Yep. Not good right now. In terms of Michael Beale, I think the drop-off in performance happened before he left. I mean, there could be any number of reasons for why that might be the case. And I have heard talk of the fact that Michael Beale did want to change up the system that Villa have used since Gerrard came in. Michael Beale wanted to change that system up while he was at Rangers. So whether or not he felt that he was not being listened to as much in terms of the tactical side of things, I don't know. That's just speculation on my part. But he's obviously gone now and that slump has continued. I think with the players that Gerrard has at his disposal, there should be no way that they're putting in relegation level performances in terms of the underlying numbers. And so, I think that something has to give. I would not be surprised if Steven Gerrard is not managing Villa by the time the World Cup swings around. Again, that's just speculation on my part, but disappointing season from them, but they have the players who can hurt teams. I think in the final analysis, that's what their season is going to come down to. Whether or not they get to a point where they feel as though they want to take that risk with Gerrard, I don't know, but they have the ability to hurt teams just through some of the talent that they have on their books, more so than I would say other teams that we would think about in terms of relegation candidates. So maybe not Forest, but certainly teams like Bournemouth, it's tough, isn't it? Because it feels like there's a lot of teams like that in the Premier League now, right, where they've got the talent level to be able to do something if you bring in the right manager.
And I guess in my viewing of the Southampton game, it seemed to me that one team had a more cohesive tactical approach and another team had just better players in attacking positions who were going to cause problems.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Tom, what do you make of Gerrard as a manager? Is he any good? Is he as bad as the press say? Is he what is he?
Yeah, so my take is kind of similar to John on this one, that with the players he has, he should be doing a lot more. I suppose the amount of money that Villa have spent since he took over, like they're not getting the performances and the results sort of to match it. I've just gone on FBref now just to look at his numbers from this year. So in the seven games, they've only got above one XG twice.
Right.
So it doesn't suggest like they're playing particularly well, and that's the same can be said from when you watch Villa play. So my take is kind of like he doesn't seem to really know how to get the best out of his squad at the moment. Like they've seemed to be changing formation quite a lot to sort of in the hope that works and sort of. There isn't a clear sort of tactical idea of what they're doing, so I think the criticism he gets is probably fair so far this year. Because the results kind of like they got that draw against Man City. I think they'd lose 2-1 to Arsenal. Mm. I think those results kind of make it look better than it probably currently is at Villa.
Mm-hmm. John, how do they play? What can people expect to see? Let's start defensively. What do they do off the ball?
Yeah, Villa have been, I guess, a fairly narrow defensive team. They form a 4-3-3, out in possession, but with tweaks in both senses of the game phase. They will drop their. Well, they play with the front three, which is quite narrow, right? So, and sometimes that front three can be two and then one, so like two sort of tens and then a striker in front of them, or it can be 1-10, someone like Philippe Coutinho, and then two strikers, so more like a 4-4-2 diamond. Yeah. And they'll fall into a sort of fairly narrowish 4-5-1 most of the time in defensive situations. But going forward, the big thing for me is that Gerrard likes his fullbacks to do a lot of the dangerous attacking work, like to build up in wide areas and push those fullbacks high. And when he does that, he usually accounts for the space that's left behind by dropping one of his outside centre midfielders into the space. And I think that this can mean that when they're in attacking phases, they tend to leave a lot of space in the central areas free. So let's imagine that Luka Dina is attacking on the left-hand side. You have Jacob Ramsey as the outside centre midfielder, and he probably will drop in to cover the space that Dina leaves. If Villa are getting forward, they'll have probably a pivot player, say someone like Boubacar Kamara, and then they'll have John McGinn on the other side. Now, McGinn will usually push forward to help out in the attack, and that means that you've got Boubacar Kamara just covering all of that central space. So I think they can be quite soft in the centre in transition the other way, so if they lose the ball, turn it over, and then the opposition attack. I think those are the dangerous moments for them, which I think will suit Leeds in their current guise. So there's definitely positivity to be seen there. I think for me, just a lot of it is quite one-dimensional, right? Yeah. So you've got like structural ideas there that are nominally kind of interesting, but it feels as though those structural ideas are just being done because that's what you do. You've got to make movements between phases in structural senses, where it doesn't always feel like there's a huge amount of thought gone into why you might be doing that or why you might not want to do the same structural movements in every attack that you're doing. Mm. It seems to me sort of quite one-dimensional in that respect. So I think that means that if you come up against a team who are struggling with that, then you'll be okay. But if you come up against a team who don't struggle with your attacking phase, then I'm not entirely sure what Gerrard has to do to change up what's happening, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Tom, when you watched the Southampton game, what did you notice about them tactically?
Not a lot, to be honest. Like I compared it more to the game before, where it seemed to just be more in that Southampton game, they were going to be much more solid. compared to previous games. But to fair to them, like I think the games before, like I said, were City and Arsenal, so they just didn't want to get overrunning like they did in those games. So I think it was more Gerrard going for a more solid approach and just seeing what they could get at the other end.
Yeah, it was. It felt pretty mid-blocky, didn't it? And quite direct off the ball. I felt a lot of long balls from the back four and from the keeper playing off Watkins, but that might have been to try and take Southampton's pressing out of the equation as much as anything, which might give us some clues about what we'll see on Sunday. Okay, let's think about Leeds then. So, obviously coming off the back of quite a harrowing defeat. And Tom, it feels to me like most of the lineup dilemmas are in the back four, really. I think so let's start at the right fullback position. Rasmus Christensen is fit again, played for Denmark last night, I believe. Luke Ayling's fit again, and Cody Drama exists. So which of those players do you expect to start at the right fullback position?
I'd imagine Christensen. I don't know if is Ayling fit to play a full game or even 60 minutes, because he came on, I think, didn't he? He looked good.
He did. Well, apart from his nose didn't look good.
No, his nose didn't look good. But he came on and he looked better than I think most of us imagined he was going to do. But I think Christensen, having been signed, being sort of a Marsh player, he will probably get the nod. I think Drama did all right. I can't remember which game he played, but he did, I think, better than people gave him credit for. So I would actually be happy with any of those options there, but if I had to guess, I'd go for Christensen.
And who are you putting at left fullback, Tom?
I think it'll be Pascal again. I don't know if Firpo still exists.
It does.
Like Drama does.
He was spotted playing for the 21s the other night. It was junior.
Did he start for them or did he come on?
I think he started.
Because Ayling started.
Yeah,
right?
He did.
Did he get a full game?
I think Ayling played like 60 or something like that. Or 45. I'm sure someone will tell me if I've got it wrong. So you're going with Pascal. So John, that means that at centre back, clearly Diego Llorente was just as disastrous as we've been worried about since the minute he walked through the door in that game. We're not going to talk about us saying that we thought that was going to be the case eventually. We're going to let that sit in the air. But who are you picking for the centre back positions on Sunday?
I think Jesse Marsh is picking Diego Llorente and Robin Koch.
Do you really think so?
Who he picks,
do you think
right?
he's going to pick Llorente again?
Llorente played for Spain, didn't he? Allegedly not very well. I did see that he hadn't got a particularly great score on. I mean, I'm not someone who goes in for sort of FOT mob scores or sofa score scores, but he had a very low score in that game. Mm. I mean, what other options are there? How would you suggest that they could go?
I don't know. I would imagine it'll be Cooper that'll play.
I would have said Cooper.
Just because Llorente was so disastrous that I don't know.
Against Brentford,
yeah.
It depends how Cooper's done in training, obviously.
It does.
And, yeah, did Cooper play in that 21s game as well?
Does, yeah. Again, I can't remember.
And he played for...
I can't remember the specific minutes, but he certainly played.
Disgusting.
I know, I do apologise.
Yeah. I have a feeling like this break might have saved Llorente.
I think
if we'd gone straight into that Forest game, I think it would have been a no-brainer, but this sort of four-week gap might have saved him a dropping until the next game.
Okay, we shall see. And John, we're expecting the double pivot to stay the same, so Mark Rocker and Tyler Adams, what have you made of them so far through the season?
Yeah, I think they're solid. Obviously, Mark Rocker's been putting up some decent progressive passing numbers, which is nice to see. And Tyler Adams is a really solid defensive player as well. Nice combination of players in that pivot, and the sort of players that you want in that sort of system. So, yeah, if that's the way we're going to play, then I'm happy to have those two in it.
Yep. And Tom, the three behind the striker, so who are we expecting? Harrison, what? Aronson and who?
The last bit's a bit difficult. Obviously, I don't know how fit Rodrigo is. And I think Sinisterra is playing for Colombia on like Wednesday morning, similar to Rafinha's situation at this time last year. So I imagine Sinisterra probably won't play, and so it's kind of a bit up in the air to who else can play there. Really, I think it'll also depend on Bamford if he's available to start up front because if not, it might get Geldhart could potentially play in that three with Bamford up front, or he might need be needed further forward. So yeah, it's I think we'll have to wait kind of on player availability for that one.
Did we be playing 4-2-3-1 right recently?
Yeah.
And I wonder whether or not like this could be like not winning in the few games might be a prompt to change it up somehow, because that tends to be what Jesse Marsh does. I don't know whether or not we think that we maybe see a slightly different formation, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really deviated from the 4-2-3-1, 4-2-2 hybrid thing that he's been doing all season. What do you think? He might go for a three at the back system or something?
I doubt he would go for three at the back, but he could maybe tweak it up and just sort of go for a more classic 4-2-2. If he's not got a player that he feels can sit deeper, but then he's not really got two strikers, has he? But and it, obviously, like the 4-2-3-1, like morphs into the 4-2-2 at times as it well. Does. It's quite fluid. Yeah. So I suppose it just depends on personnel. If you play someone who's going to be pushing forward a little bit more, then it probably looks more like a 4-2-2. But yeah, I wondered whether or not he might just sort of experiment with something else. The other option is obviously the 4-4-2 diamond.
Yeah.
That we've seen at times, although I don't think he's been a huge advocate of it in the same way that Matthias Jeisler has been at Salzburg. But yeah.
Interesting questions. So, John, how do you expect Villa? I'll start that one again. So,
Ex-Villa.
So, John, how do you expect Villa to counter the Leeds' aggressive counter-pressing style? I noted that Villa did struggle at times playing out from the back against Southampton. How do you think they're going to approach this game against Leeds?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Southampton are much less of a pressing side these days. It feels as though Hasenhüttl has moved towards trying to be more of a build-up team, mid-block team. I suspect that if, I don't know, will Villa try and build up from the back or will they just try and go long? I don't know. That's going to be what I think a lot of teams are going to start doing against us. So that's what I'll be watching out for. Will the ball be played over the press? And you sort of try and get those situations. It's funny, isn't it? Because I guess if you really want to make the most space at the back, you invite the press to a certain extent. So there will be attempts to build up from the back. But whether or not there are attempts to play through the press is a different matter, right? If you can, you're given a certain amount of space on the ball, I think, in the lead system, because I'd say it's more of a, I wouldn't say a mid-block, but it's a press which waits for certain decisions to be made before triggers are put on, and then you then try and force the build-up back and press from there. So there's plenty of scope to be able to work the ball into certain scenarios and then try and find space in behind Leeds. That would be what I would be doing if I was a coach. So I think that's the big question that I'll be focusing on. Like, are they going to try and build up? Are they going to try and just go direct from the goalkeeper over the press, or are they going to try and move it out and then fashion better angles and try and get Leeds pulling forward so that they then generate space for quicker players to run into? So I don't know.
Interesting. And Tom, where will Villa's attacking threats come from? If you remember at the game at Elland Road at the end of last season, which, you know, you probably can't use as too much of a guide stick, but I thought it was quite interesting. They scored three goals from drawing Leeds to one side and overloading the far post, effectively, is how they got their three goals. I also noticed in the Southampton game that they did have some quite promising moments in attacking transition. Occasionally, but not hundreds, but some. So what are you expecting to see from them in terms of their attack?
Yeah, because teams this year have kind of hit us sort of behind our fullbacks, haven't they? But because Villa don't play with like traditional wingers, that doesn't worry me as much, but you might see the fullbacks get some joy. I think the fullbacks did manage to do that in the game last year. I think Cash scored from memory. Yeah, they might see that. I think from their other points, I think it's more just, like you said, against Southampton, it's like they have good individuals. So someone like Coutinho or like I think Leon Bailey's been playing quite well recently. Those players, just all they need is a moment, especially in transition. Like if you can give them a bit of space, they will cause us problems. So it's not more the stuff that Villa do tactically that worries me. It's just more that they do have good players that will, if given the chance, cause us problems.
And John, where are the Leeds chances going to come from?
Yeah, I think coming through the middle, like I said, if Villa do commit players forward and evacuate the central spaces, which is something that they have done, then I think there could be some joy, given that Leeds are going to look to be direct, quick, and go through the central areas. So I do think this is a sort of play style that will probably suit Leeds.
Mm. Interesting. And John, describe what you expect watching this game of football will be like.
Yeah, I did.
You don't like this question.
I don't
do you?
Know. Like I said at the beginning, it's like chaotic football, and Leeds are trying to generate chaotic game state. So, in terms of the aesthetics, I don't think it ever promises to be like scintillating football in the classic sense of the word. But I think a lot of fans enjoy the sort of chaotic game states that are generated by Leeds when they win. Yeah, I think it's one of those games where the result will determine how enjoyable the game is. And the result could go either way. So I think this is one of the reasons why I struggle with the Red Bull style of football to a degree, because I feel as though it's one of those styles of football where there's not much correlation between, or there's not as much correlation between performance levels and result. Mm-hmm. Perhaps, or maybe it's because your performance levels depend more on how well your pressing works rather than how much your in possession stuff works. So, yeah, I just sort of find it kind of hard to judge. My profession is essentially football analyst, right? Yep. So I like to be able to watch games of football and say, this team were good because this happened and they did this well, etc. And I think, I mean, obviously that is still applicable in this instance, but there are more of those moments where you just sort of have to say this team won because, you know, in this moment, everything fell for them. And again, I think that's intentional on the part of Leeds. There's the intention is that if you're coming up against teams who do have a real talent base at every level of the league, then the best thing you can do is to sit, like, generate situations where you're going to be better suited to deal with the situations than the opposition. So that's just the way that it is.
Mm. Tom, where will the game be won or lost?
Probably the same way that a lot of the games this season have been won or lost, and just transition. I think from what John said, like, they are gettable, and we know that we are always gettable in that way as well. So I expect it to be quite end-to-end, and just the team that transitions better will probably more likely get the result.
John, any advance?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it will come down to whichever team takes their chances better, or maybe not even takes their chances better, but, you know, scores.
Scuffs one in.
puts one in, yeah. But, yeah, it really interesting game, I think, in terms of it does sort of set things up quite interestingly in terms of what Leeds season looks like. Because as I've said, you know, if it's winless in four, you're starting to, and you're not getting results against teams like Villa and Brentford and Everton and Brighton, regardless of how good you might think those teams are, I think people will start asking questions if those results don't come through for them. So
interesting stuff. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of our Villa preview. We will be back next Monday. We're going to try and record in a regular Monday evening slot so we don't end up not reviewing games again in future. We'll be back next Monday with a review of the Villa game and a preview of the Crystal Palace game, which is the following week. Until then, everybody, have a great week and try to enjoy the game, John. All right, bye!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.